This is an excerpt of one of Robert Parker's great Spencer novels, featuring Private Detective Spencer, his girlfriend, Susan Silverman, and as we begin, a rich horse breeder in Georgia named Walter Clive and his pretty and very smart 25-year-old daughter Penny are talking to Spencer about a job they want him to take.
"I wish to hire you, sir, to put a stop to this," Clive said.
"You mean to prevent the horse from being hurt?"
"Well, that certainly. Usually I only get one end of the horse," I said.
Penny laughed.
Clive said, "Excuse me?"
"Daddy," Penny said, "he's saying sometimes he gets a client who's a horse's ass."
Well, of course. I guess I'm too worried to have a sense of humor.
"Well, tell me a little more of how you see this working," I said. "Am I sleeping on a blanket in the horse's stall with a knife in my teeth?"
"No, no," he said. "I have some armed security in place. I would like you to look at the security and let me know what you think. But primarily, I want you to find out who is doing this and arrest them or shoot them or whatever's the right thing."
"And what makes you think I'm the man for the job?" I said.
"I have money, sir. My attorneys are resourceful."
"And I'm the man."
"Yes, sir, you are."
"And who is the outfit in Atlanta that's on the job now?" I said.
"The on-site supervisor is a man named Delroy, John Delroy."
"Will Mr. Delroy be pleased to see me?"
"No," Penny said. "I don't think he'll be pleased to see you at all."
Clive looked at her.
"Well, it's the truth, Daddy. He'll be absolutely goddamned livid."
Clive nodded.
"He's not really over John," Clive said. "But John may feel a bit compromised. That a problem to you, Mr. Spencer?"
"No."
"Really," Penny said. "You think you can work with someone like that?"
"I'll win him over," I said.
"How?"
"Northern charm," I said.
"Isn't that an oxymoron?" she said.
"You're right," I said. "Maybe I'll just threaten him." Chapter 2 begins with Spencer back in Boston telling his girlfriend, Susan Silverman, that he's going to Georgia for an extended period.
"Lamar, Georgia?" Susan said.
She was lying on top of me in her bed with her clothes off, her arms folded on my chest, and her face about 6 inches from my face. Pearl, the wonder dog, was lying somewhat grumpily on the rug at the foot of the bed, having been displaced, if only temporarily, by me.
"Do you know anything about racehorses?"
"Secretariat gave me a big lap once," I said.
"Anything less specialized?" Susan said.
"Well, that's about it.
And you are being brought in over someone who has heretofore been in charge?"
"Yes."
"So you are going to Georgia without Pearl or me, and you'll be gone for who knows how long, and you don't know what you're doing, and the people you're working with will resent you."
"Exactly," I said.
"Well, perhaps we can visit. You and Pearl could come down," I said. "Pearl does not obviously fly in a crate in the hold of some disgusting airplane," Susan said.
"It's an easy drive," I said, "one overnight stop."
Susan stared at me. Her eyes were so close they were out of focus as I looked up at her. They seemed bigger than human eyes could be, and bottomless like eternity. "I cannot bear to drive long distances."
"Of course you can't," I said. "Maybe Paul would come up from New York for a weekend and take care of Pearl."
"Oh, that might work," Susan said.
"And then you can come to Lamar on an airplane and bawl my brains out."
"Didn't I just do that?" Susan said, "except for the airplane part."
"Yes," I said, "and brilliantly."
"I know,"